This podcast is brought to you by the Sophia 2 from Quidel. To find out more, go to Quidel.com.
Welcome to Repertoire Magazine's Physician Office Lab podcast series, hosted by publisher of Repertoire Magazine, Scott Adams. Hey guys, Scott Adams here. Thank you for joining us today. We are launching a six-part series podcast here around the POL. And the whole goal of this is to start kind of with the basics and work our way all the way through to some high-level conversations around POL. And the number one thing is to take the nervousness or any fear that there may be out there of walking in and being able to have a live conversation with someone in your physician office lab in your territory. In doing that, we couldn't think of a better person to have help us with this podcast other than the one and only Mr. Jim Poggi. Jim, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, Scott, glad to be here. And you know my experience with the distribution community and selling lab. This is a lot of fun for me. And I want to make sure that the account managers that are really our customers for this take away the nervousness that they may have and feel confident approaching their prospects and clients to sell laboratories. So I'm really excited to help out.
Well, I appreciate it. So this first podcast, and remember folks, this is number one of six. This first podcast is, we're gonna talk about what are the key things that you need to know when going into the POL. So Jim, I'm just gonna jump into some of these questions that you and I put together, and we'll see where the conversation takes us this morning and kind of go from there. So first question for you today, bud, is who should the account manager talk to in order to know the practice objectives for POL?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. This is the best starting point. My experience tells me that you really need to go to the person that's going to be the financial manager and the key financial decision maker. Usually that's the medical director of the practice. And at the same time, to really make sure that the practice is ready, willing, and able to get the work done, I've always encouraged people to also talk to the office manager, the practice manager, to understand how far in sync the practice is. I think that's a good opening gambit. So starting with the medical director and also confirming with another key administrative person, typically the practice manager or office manager.
What are some red flags that you typically look for when you're in the POL?
Yeah, this can be really tricky. We always get excited when we've got a customer that's interested, and sometimes we miss the parts where the customer might be interested for the wrong reasons or only be interested in certain outcomes. So the red flags that I think are really important is to be very careful if customers have excessive emphasis on revenue and return on investment. These are folks that typically want to go for the very high reimbursement products and don't always have a clinical need in mind. That can be very dangerous downstream, particularly if they find that the ROI is not exactly where they thought it would be in the original going. There's a lot of buyer's remorse associated with those kinds of customers. Secondly, customers that aren't actively interested in participation. Oftentimes the medical director or the head physician will kind of shrug their shoulders and say, hey, I want you to work it out with the practice manager and the lab people. This doesn't often work well either. It shows that there's a disconnect in the practice and that the practice manager is going to be working to fulfill the needs of the client without their active engagement. You need to encourage that active engagement. Probably the worst red flag in my experience is staff rebellion. If the head financial manager or the head financial decision maker really wants to do lab and the rest of the staff from the billing office and the front office to the folks that are going to do the testing are not actively engaged and at least generally enthusiastic about doing this, that's a sign of failure downstream. A staff that doesn't want to do the testing will find 100 reasons to make it not work. And if you find that red flag, it's very important to quietly, professionally, and in a very positive way, go back to the financial decision maker and let them know that you have concerns without outing specific individuals, but to let them know that you don't see a consensus. The final general red flag is the famous lack of planning, where the practice just turns it over to you and says, hey, let's start testing now and we'll figure out the details later. Those are the kind of practices, particularly for moderate complexity products and above, that end up having difficulties with regulatory compliance downstream. If you find somebody that wants to do this without planning it, encourage them to take a better, more objective, more plan-oriented view. You'll find it downstream far fewer complications.
I think, man, all of those are great points. I remember when I first started in the industry back in 96, and I was selling, and you'll remember this, Jim, I was selling the microbiology plates for HealthLink, and we had the bullseye plate that we would sell into urology and to OB practices. And I can remember going into those labs and the lab techs just like, I don't want to get into doing this. But the reimbursement was so strong that the office manager would want them to do it regularly, and trying to navigate through that without offending anyone. But you're so spot on. And if the downstream folks that are going to actually be doing the test aren't excited about it, they will find every way under the sun to not do them, for sure, regardless of the revenue that could be generated or the better patient care. So I think it's great points that you make there. Let me ask you this question. Who can the account manager look for help in these situations or in the practices?
That's a great question, Scott. And particularly in the early going, looking for help and taking a very comprehensive look is really important. What I've found in the past is you'll often find a coach in the practice. A lot of times it is the practice manager. Sometimes it's the head physician, but you'll find one person or another within the practice who's very enthusiastic about the idea of in-office testing, and they can help guide you through the challenges that you've got. In my experience, account manager is a solid manager, can often go to their manager and get help. How have you handled situations of this type in the past? What do you do when these things come up? Who do you think we need to talk to in the home office to help? And probably in my experience as well, peer coaching has been great. Virtually every sales team that I've worked with under a solid manager has had at least one person on the team that loves lab and is willing to help less experienced colleagues. And the last one that I've used, and sometimes it's overlooked, friendly current customers. When I sold in the Eastern Pennsylvania area, I often called on some of my customers for the specific purpose of getting help, motivating clients that were prospects that I couldn't seem to become actively interested in becoming clients. They often have insight that you can really use from a very practical viewpoint.
That's a great point. I didn't even thought about using other customers. One thing I did think about while you were talking about is the wonderful manufacturers that out there and the manufacturer reps that represent those products. We're going to take a second here and hear a word from one of those manufacturers right now on how they can help you in the POL.
Sophia 2 Proprietary Advanced Result Technology, or ART, has the power to deliver highly accurate, objective, and automated CLIA-waived influenza A and B, RSV, and Strep A plus results in as few as 3 minutes. Make sure your POL customers are prepared for respiratory season using Sophia 2 combined with the power of Virena, so they can monitor emerging disease trends easily in near real time, as well as manage test volumes, QC, reporting, training, and personnel from any web-enabled device. To find out more, go to Quidel.com.
All right, we're back with Jim. We're so thankful for these sponsors that sponsor these, and these are the folks that, right to the point of that last question, that can be in the field with you and help you on a daily basis. So please don't hesitate to have some ride days and get in the car with some of these manufacturers that are selling lab and want to go in and help you close more business. Jim, I think one of the things that we see a lot when we're going into the lab, especially, and I don't even know that it's with newer reps, I think some of the times it can be, you know, a seasoned veteran that's never really kind of gone into the POL. They get nervous, or they have a fear of going in there. They may not know the right questions to ask, or definitely don't want to ask the wrong questions. Can you give us a couple of ideas of the right questions to ask when they walk into the POL?
Yeah, absolutely, Scott, and thank you very much. And certainly actively involving the supplier community and the great manufacturers that support distribution is a great way to do it. And they will also help you with the right questions for their specific product. But in terms of general questions, one of the most powerful ones that I've always asked is, how do you believe testing fits into your overall practice? For the chief physician and the financial decision maker, you learn a lot with that question. I've often followed it with what are the key tests you want on site to initiate or modify a patient's treatment plan. Remember that physicians really aren't thinking about lab as much as they are about a patient treatment plan. And when you focus on talking about the tests that influence a patient treatment plan, you always get their interest. Then you've got some questions around, are you ready to do the work? And I've asked, do you have staff members who currently draw blood? Do you have staff members that you think can be trained? Is there staff interested in performing lab tests now, which gets us back to our staff disengagement situation? Who on the staff is qualified for or interested in becoming a lab director? Particularly when I've worked in long-term care facilities, I've been interested to find that many of them have a person on staff that is interested in becoming a lab director. And finally, a couple of broad questions. Asking the account where they are in the process of considering adding lab tests for the practice, that gets some of the tire kickers out of the way, and you get a pretty clear understanding right away. Are they looking actively? Are they in the early stages? Are you coming in late and need to really catch up on where they are in the process? That's a big deal. And at the same time, finding out who they believe needs to be involved helps you to understand everyone that you need to speak with. And the last question, getting back to concerns that we've had at the account level before, do you know of any reservations the staff may have about testing in the practice? This is really less about that question and more about asking the person you're talking to think about their staff. Their first reaction will probably be a no, but once you plant the seed that you need to understand and have full consensus across the practice, I find that things go much more smoothly downstream.
Yeah, Jim, it's interesting listening to you go through the one that jumped off the page there for me when you said, and it's kind of sales 101, you know, finding out what's most important to the person you're talking to at the time. And I love the comment you make there of, are they interested in becoming a lab director? And if you can kind of get on the side of the table with them of, hey, if you're interested in doing this, I have some products that can help us get going down that path and find a career path for you in doing some of this, which will definitely change the dynamics of your everyday and kind of where you head from a career standpoint in the POL. I think that's, again, just going back to kind of sales 101, find out what's important to them and sell around that. One of the last things I want to touch base on here, Jim, with you is, are there any wrong questions to ask when you're walking in the POL? We've all had our hiccups, obviously, is going into accounts where we've said some stupid stuff. But are there anything that you just kind of red flags that you would definitely tell the listeners, hey, this is some stuff you don't want to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And like many of us, I've asked my share of stupid questions and got my share of stupid responses in the past. So I consider myself an expert at bad questions.
Absolutely.
One of the things I heard early on going in is not to focus on questions that talk about lab, but really questions that talk about patient care. Once you start using the three-letter word of lab, it turns off a lot of physicians and it turns off a lot of primary care practice is in particular. You want to stay focused on questions around patient care, treatment plans, and the rest of it. And the fewer times you can use the word lab, and the more number of times that you can invoke the patient caregiver side of the equation, you're going to find out you're in a much, much, much better place. You have more empathy, and you have a clearer view to what is important to them. The other question that has always tipped things over in my experience and brings out the worst possible customer behavior is spending too much time with questions around revenue and cost. It's always important to think about the business issues that doing in-house laboratory brings, but excessive focus in this area truly leads to a lot of buyer's remorse downstream. And it may lead to people thinking about doing tests that may not be necessary, but are high reimbursement. You need to keep a good balance between clinical outcomes and revenue impact and potential profit impact on a practice. Spending too much time on where the money is diverts people from the clinical side of things and unbalances that equation.
Great comments there, Jim. As just kind of a parting overall overview question for you, What advice would you give someone who's thinking about going into the POL, probably and hasn't maybe spent a lot of time in there, about, hey, you don't need to be nervous about going in. It's just like going into any other part of the practice. You have any advice for either a young rep or somebody who's just not spent a lot of time in the lab?
Yeah, and I think my advice is really simple, and I want to start by telling people nobody's an expert on day one. So never be afraid to expose yourself to an experience that's new. It's like riding a bicycle. And I would say a couple things. I've often encouraged people to talk to others that have been successful in the past and just think a little bit and learn a little bit from their experience. And the other thing that I did very successfully when I was a salesperson in Eastern PA, I went to established customers in my territory first and just interviewed them and said, tell me about what caused you to think about doing this. What values do you get from doing lab? How would you suggest that I talk to the prospects in my area? And they will help you in ways that you cannot imagine. So I would say, have no fear. Talk to colleagues that you know and trust that have been successful, and find two or three or four customers that are going to want to take you under your wing, under their wing rather, and give you some thought on an insight on what the practical values of laboratory testing in a physician practice are. And don't give up. The key to yes is getting a few no's and learning. And don't be discouraged by the first couple of events you have. You will get better and better and better at this the more time you spend doing it.
There was our first POGIism of the day. The key to yes is getting a few no's. I love it, Jim. Thank you so much. As always, great takeaways here, man. You never cease to amaze me at your knowledge of this space, and we really appreciate it. Folks, don't forget, we're going to have another, we're going to do, this is a 6-part podcast, so we've got 5 more. Couldn't do my math this morning, Jim. We got 5 more of these coming at you over the next couple of weeks, and hopefully by the time we get through all of these, you'll be maybe not an expert in the lab space, but definitely feel a hell of a lot more comfortable going out and talking to the folks in the POL and allowing them to provide better patient care for the patients that they serve. So, Jim, thank you so much, man.
Hey, my pleasure, Scott. I appreciate the opportunity to help.
Absolutely.
This podcast was brought to you by the Sophia 2 from Quidel. To find out more, go to Quidel.com.